And we walked through Psalm 150 together. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him with trumpet sound. Praise Him with lute and harp.
Praise Him with tambourine and
praise Him with sounding cymbals. Praise Him with loud clashing cymbals. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Lord, be with you. Let us pray. O God, you make the minds of your faithful to be of one will. Grant that we may love what you have commanded and desire what you promise, that among the many changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joys are found, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated as we hear our scripture readings for the day.
Good morning. Our first reading for today is found in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 through 40. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and he passed through. He preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading today is found in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so we might live through him. In this is love, and not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This is the word of the Lord.
We rise in honor of the gospel. And from John's gospel in the 15th chapter. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me, and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered and thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. I invite grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, you bring us into your vineyard and you give us life. We pray that you would bless us at this time. Open our ears and hearts to hear your word, to rest in your promises, and that you would work by your Spirit to remove distractions from our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name, amen. I think every single one of you has a pretty idyllic view of what life in the vineyard looks like, right? I mean, you think of a vineyard and you think of Napa Valley, Sonoma, Temecula, Escondido. I mean, all these places where these vines grow, and it's gorgeous, right? I mean, there's a lot of work that goes into making sure that vineyard looks that way, and the vineyard managers and the vine tenders and all those folks have to do a whole lot of work. This is a vineyard owned by a family by the name of Segazio. They're up in the Sonoma area, and that's Pete Segazio on the left in the red shirt, and that's his son, Will. Great little boy. In fact, I think the next picture shows how much this family loves this vineyard. And, oh no, we'll get there. Sorry, I apologize. But Pete has been raising his son in this vineyard, and he's been showing him what it looks like to live in this vineyard and the work that it takes within this vineyard for the care of the vines and for the care of the branches that are in this vineyard. And in one of their vineyards, go ahead and go to that next one, we get vines that look like this. Those are not young vines. Those are probably 60, 70-year-old vines, somewhere in that range. Pretty fruitful. There's a lot of life there. There's leaves that are showing up. This was a time of year where there weren't grapes on those vines yet. They were just getting into the late spring and early summer, and they were starting to show this life that was being fed through them, this life that would flow through that trunk. And when Jesus is talking about the vine, I mean, a lot of times in our imagery, we're thinking of the whole thing as the vine. Jesus is looking at that trunk piece and the roots that are down below. Okay, that's what he would consider the heart of the vine. In fact, you talk to a lot of wine growers, and they're going to mention that. That the heart of this plant is in these roots and in this trunk. It can be trimmed in certain ways and trained in certain ways, but that's where kind of the lifeblood of the whole thing sits. In fact, during the wintertime, it goes dormant in those branches. There's nothing going on in the branches and nothing else, and everything kind of settles back in that heart. But in the springtime, it starts reaching back out. It starts flowing back out through those, through that trunk and through those branches. And this life in the vineyard starts to sprout again and show. Now, all these vines, as long as they may be in the ground, not all of them remain healthy in every single way. Okay? There's times at which the fruit they bear is imperfect. There's times in which the fruit they bear gets corrupted, rotten. And then there's times where the branches just don't bear any fruit at all. Nothing. Nothing on them whatsoever. Those are the times that as these main branches are trimmed and trained, that they'll be pruned and pieces will be taken off of them because they're destructive, actually, to the branch. Sucking some of that life out of the branch but not bearing fruit and just being a detriment to the rest of the plant. In fact, if one of those were to get rotten on the inside, it would start to corrupt the entire plant and work its way all the way through. So the vine dresser, the vineyard manager, the owner of the vineyard, the one walking through, has this eyes to be able to see where the health is at in these plants, and this way to be able to walk through and see what is good and what is mediocre and hurtful and other things that are just plain out rotten. And so as Pete and his son would walk through the vineyards, you would see Pete with an eye out on all of the vines, kind of seeing what was going on with them, and you would see Will walking along and just tying the green little ties that would hold the vines to their stakes to help them grow straight. That was his job. That was him being raised up in this life in the vineyard to care for it, because as Pete would walk through, he would want to teach this one what it looked like to live in the vineyard, how to care for the vineyard, how to pay attention to the needs of the vineyard, so that when Pete couldn't do it anymore, he knew his son would be the one to do it. What a beautiful life it is in the vineyard when you see this care and this love that's going on in there. And as these vines would grow, let's see what the next picture looks like. You start to get vines that look like that. That is not a young vine. That one's in the 90 to 110 year range. That was one of the first ones planted by the family of Segasio back in the mid to late 1800s. Beautiful, beautiful fruit that would come off of this vine. But there wasn't a lot of it. I mean, you can see same time of year, but the difference in that there's just a little bit of leaves that are there and just a little bit that's going on. But that is a thriving vine. It's older, but it's thriving. It may not bear a ton of fruit, but the fruit that came off of that would go into their most special bottles. The fruit that came off of that would be so intense and so vibrant and so pure, because you can hardly even tell where the vine ends and the branch begins. It's so connected to the heart of the thing that goes on, even though you can see a tunnel right through the middle of it like it was wounded at one point. That thing was thriving. And it was one of their most beloved vineyards that they had, that they would go into, and they barely even had to care for it anymore because it just lived, just did what it was supposed to do. So many years in our lives where there's so much pruning and tending going on and so many things that take us away in a direction that remove us from the heart of Christ, that remove us from the vine, the one who is the love of God sent down to earth, the one that is planted in the middle of our Lord's vineyard to bring life. And there's years at which where that pruning and tending by the Father is necessary so that those branches would get stronger and so that they would be even more connected with the heart of the vine. And pruning hurts. It does. I mean, as pieces of life, people in life, perceptions in life, all these different things are pruned away by God so that our distractions would be removed and we would be focused more on the work that Christ does through us and what he has brought to us in forgiveness. As all those other things are pruned away when we're looking for peace or love or joy or forgiveness or anything else in some other place, God continues to bring those things and prune those things away to focus us back in on where those fruits truly come from. as he focuses us back in on Jesus. And the hard part is when we watch our loved ones say, I'm going to remove myself from this vine and try to be planted over here. Try to be planted somewhere else. Try to be planted on my own. Try to be planted in midair. Try to be planted in the middle of concrete. Try to be planted somewhere else where I think that I'm going to be okay as I grow up on my own. And then we watch them wither. We watch them hurt. And we may not watch them physically die, but we watch their hearts harden because there's such little life that's flowing into them because they're removed from this heart of Christ. That beautiful wounded vine of Christ, though. A couple of holes in it, but full of life. Beautiful part about the vineyard of God is that even those ones that have removed themselves, they can be grafted back in. Can be grafted back in to Christ, into this true vine, this one who is the love of God, this one who brings life into the midst of the vineyard. All those that have been separated from it can be grafted back in. And it takes work and it hurts and it actually wounds that vine just a bit as they would cut into it and bring that withering piece back in. But once that graft is made, sometimes those become the strongest vines. Those become the ones that are so absorbent of that life that is coming from the vine that it just flows through them to a point to where as it grows and that wound is healed over, you start to see a life that comes from that branch like this, where you can barely tell the difference between the vine and the branch anymore. Like I said, it may not be a lot of fruit, but the fruit that comes off of that is so beautiful and so tasty. And so good. And I think you've probably seen that in life. Folks you've loved that have been distant for a long time, you see them gathered back into that vine and grafted back into that vine as the vine dresser hadn't let go of them, but was bringing them back in to say, I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to plant you in the middle of the place where you need to be so you would know God's word for you, so that you would know of my love for you, so that you would know of my forgiveness for you as I restore you into that vine of Christ so that I could work through you and bring fruit about that you never even know you could produce. Fruit that would come out through your words, through fruit that would come out through your actions, fruit that would come out for the benefit of the folks that are around you in such beautiful, glorious fruit so that people would know how strong God's love is and how pure His will is to maintain life. It is hard to watch pieces get cut off or folks separate themselves. And those parts break our hearts as much as they break God's heart. Yet that's never the will of the Father. And the will of the Father and the vine dresser is to have vines that live and branches that produce and life that thrives. That's what He does as He tends His vineyard. As He disciplines it, as He trains it, so that it would produce fruit for others to enjoy, fruit that would bring life. What's the next picture look like? Ah, yeah, there's the fruit. This was a different vine in a different place. The leaves are a little different. The fruit was a little different. The ground was a little different, but the care in the vineyard was just the same. I think it's something to remember sometimes. God's planted us in the middle of a beautiful vineyard connected to the vine of Christ. He's got a really big vineyard, though, and it's great. It's beautiful to know that there are folks outside of this place that know that same vine, that know that same Jesus, and to celebrate that, to live life with them, knowing that, yeah, the fruit's going to look a little bit different. The vine's going to be the same. It's Christ. Branches might be a little bit different. The fruit's even going to taste a little different. There's a difference between a Chardonnay, a Zinfandel, and a Pinot Noir. Drink each one of those, they don't taste the same. But you know what? The love that went into producing them, probably pretty much the same. The quality that comes from those older vines that bears that fruit, the mature ones, it's not just an age thing. But that spiritual maturity that God brings about through people, whether they are young or old or whatever the case may be, to see that beautiful, gorgeous fruit that comes out of that, that God works through that, is absolutely beautiful. What's our last one? That's it. Well, good place to end. On the beautiful fruit that God produces through you as he tends to you, as he cares for you, as he prunes away the things that would distract you from the life that's in the vine of Christ. You are Christ's branches. He produces fruit through you. And it hurts at times because the fruit often is imperfect. But you know what he makes with that imperfect fruit? A perfect bottle. He redeems that fruit. He reconciles that fruit. He takes what is not perfect and forgives it, renews it, and gives it life. That's what he does for you in Jesus. That's what he has done for you in Jesus, as he has grafted you into that vine for life in the vineyard. Amen. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life that you have built through us and the many ways in which you have tended and pruned and cared for. And some of it is hurt. Yet we know, Lord, that you intend life. And so we pray that you would continue to bear fruit through us that would bring life, that you would give us words that would produce life, that you would work by your Spirit, Lord, through us to continue to produce your fruit. Peaceful fruit, joyful fruit, life-giving fruit, kind fruit, patient fruit, self-controlled fruit. Lord, be with us in all things as you care for your world by your Son, through your creation, for our good and to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to rise as we sing.